Welcome to World Cup Report Worldwide, a podcast dedicated to worldwide events in the Blood Bowl community, with your hosts, Tim and Steve.
Welcome. You are listening to World Cup Report Worldwide, Episode 2. I'm Tim Vitamin T Lyons, and with me as always is Steve Kilowagi Campbell. What's happening, Steve?
Not much. How's it going?
Oh, pretty good. I super bit my tongue, like to the point I almost bit it off a little bit ago. That was great.
Well, I mean, that's the perfect thing you want to do before a podcast. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Really make it wobbly and weird.
Yeah.
Because, you know, once you bite it once, you're going to bite it all the time, because that's just how it works.
This is gonna, it's going to be a nightmare of a week, but this part will be great. So we're back here talking once again about a Moracle Cup.
Yeah, we did the interview last time. Everything went well. They have gotten a couple more squads signed up, I believe. So I think they're down to 16 extra teams, if I remember correctly. But
yeah, the last thing I saw was 17, but
might be 17.
You might be a team more up-to-date than me. Yep.
Well, it's also the holidays. Like, you know, not easy to get people to commit to something in June.
Right.
Just a point of reference, not reference, just a good idea for people. If you're looking to fly out or come out, take a train, because I'm looking at flights from like Denver to Ottawa, and my best flight has about a 6-hour layover in Toronto. And I thought maybe I would just stay in Toronto an extra day or go to some other location and then fly separately to Ottawa. Every flight, even from Toronto, inside of Canada, 1-hour flight, about $350.
Oof.
Yeah. So, Ken Henschliff was talking, buddy of mine. He lives in Toronto. He's like, why don't you just take the train? Didn't think of it, because we don't use trains around here for that type of purpose.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm taking a train, it's to be on a train and actually enjoy myself, because that's all we can do. But yeah,
it might be obvious to people around the world, but in the States, you don't take the train,
especially not in the, you know, on the East Coast. Sure.
Yeah. You know, a little like the Northeast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But out where we are, like a train takes twice as long and costs three times as much to just driving, and everyone has a car. So why wouldn't you?
Yeah. I wish we did more trains.
Oh, absolutely.
Didn't even cross my mind.
So if you fly into Toronto, which is what I'm doing, and then take a train, it's like $100 round trip for the train, and it's only 5 hours. So much easier. Allows me to stay an extra day or night into Toronto if I want. Probably go see a baseball game before flying back. And yeah, just a hint. So
yeah, nice. And you get to see, like, tour some Canada on the way.
Yeah. It's much nicer sitting in a train and seeing the landscape than it is sitting in a car and having to deal with all that crap.
Yeah, or like a 6-hour layover of the airport.
Oh, God, yes.
Watching the Tim Hortons.
Mm-hmm. I think the only issue is possibly, like, lining up the flights in the train, but that shouldn't be that big of an issue. So, that being said, another thing we don't have to bite our tongue on is the rules. So I think this episode we're just going to go over the actual rules for the event, go break it down and see what that is, and then next episode probably go over what our preferred squad rosters would be. May not be the most optimal, but what we would probably take.
Yeah, so obviously the most optimal.
Well, not if I want to take goblins.
Because I don't know.
Goblins. Maybe. We'll see.
Maybe.
So let's get into the rules. Would you like to start off with what we have? And to be fair, like, if you go to the website, moraclecup.com, the rule set is very nicely broken down into just different steps, and it makes perfect sense. So it's nice.
Yeah, it's really laid out in a way that almost looks like they don't have the full rule set here, because it's laid out so well that the information is just very concise and looks like it's not all here, but it sure is.
Yeah, I want to copy this for Oklahoma Bowl. But we'll see.
Yeah. So, like you said, this is split up into steps. So step one is the fact there's four coaches on your team, You have to decide what four races you're all going to play. As usual with squad tournaments, you have to have four different races. You can't play any of the same ones.
Yeah.
Unlike this year's World Cup, this is a squad tournament where there's an amount of points for the squad, and the different races are broken down into tiers that cost different amounts.
Which I prefer that. And I don't have a huge experience in it, but I think it adds more fun to the actual makeup of your squad, you know.
Yes, no, I agree. I think, to me, the optimal squad tournament breaks things down by points, and you can take different races from different tiers.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, as we'll get to later, an additional part of this that I don't really think you need to combine the two of. But so basically, like we said, there's four tiers in this tournament instead of five or three like GW has. They have it split up into four. Do we just want to kind of list off the tiers and maybe quickly kind of cover differences from, say, World Cup? So
ultimately, tier A, you have, just so you know, before we get into it, you have 10 points per squad.
Oh, yes.
So keep that in mind whenever we go over this. So go ahead with Tier A.
Yep. So Tier A, these teams cost you four squad points, meaning it's impossible to have more than one on your squad.
You could have two.
You
could have two if you took two D teams.
Oh, yeah, I guess you could. Yeah, you're right. you could fit in two.
Your math has failed you.
I don't know why I was thinking that Tier D was two points each.
Nope.
I don't know.
That's okay.
So these are pretty much the usual suspects for the top races in Blood Bowl. You have Dark Elves, Chaos Dwarves, Shambling Undead, Dwarf, Wood Elf, Orc, Skaven, and Lizardmen. If I was picking a tier A, this would likely be it, with maybe some new rosters that haven't quite made it up into here, and also maybe Underworld, because they just keep being the best team in every single tournament.
Yeah.
But
Underworld, man.
These are sort of your classic top tier teams, and almost identical to tier one from World Cup.
Yeah. And it does have a gold value associated with it, but we'll get into that when we talk about Tier D. Tier B is Tomb Kings, Norse, Underworld, Necro Horror, Amazon, High Elf, Human, and Vampire. And those are each worth 3 points.
And next we have the Tier C teams. They're 2 points each. They start with Khorne, then Chaos Renegades, Black Orcs, Nurgle, Elf Union, Slaan, Imperial Nobility, OWA, Old World Alliance, and Chaos Chosen.
And then finally we have D, which, as you suspect, is Snotling, Goblin, Ogre, and Halfling. Right. And this is
and
where
one
the difference...
point of each, like you said.
Oh, before. And one, yeah. And this is where the probably unnecessary aspect comes in.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
So all the other tiers are 1.1 million. For all three other tiers.
Mm-hmm.
Tier D is 1.15.
I don't think you need the extra 50K. I don't know that it really matters that much. It's kind of like giving him a free bribe, I guess, sort of.
Right.
Like, I don't know. You don't need to do that.
To me, I would not make the tiers different gold values and different skills and different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And also tie the point values to them. Because, I guess in my mind, if you're giving them extra skills for lower tier teams, you're trying to make the tiers more even.
Yeah.
So then why are they different points?
Right. Well, that's...
I always feel like it should be one or the other, in my opinion. But
yeah, because if you double it up, it's kind of like putting a hat on a hat. If anyone's familiar with that reference. But step two, each coach can then build their roster as normal per the rules. Just how it normally is. And I'm sure anything that comes out spike-wise between now and then, if it were to happen, will take precedence. But for like right now, vampires are not the team of legend. They're the actual vampire team from Spike 16.
Mm-hmm.
Each coach may provide their players a given number of additional skills, or may recruit a star player or megastar. The table below on the website provides the information coaches will need for construction of their roster in terms of additional skills and or star players. And this is, again, where does this really need to happen? We don't know, but it's happening. So Tier A, you get 4 skill point allotments. Primary skill for all tiers just costs 1 skill point. And the max allowed is unlimited, so you can take as many as you want. Max allowed secondary skills for Tier A is 0. You can stack 1 primary skill, which costs 1 skill point. Is that in addition to the cost of the skills, you think?
I mean, it must be, or I don't know why you'd mention it.
So right.
I guess I presume, like, say, Tier A can have 3 skills total if you stack 1.
Right. Okay. And I guess it probably says right below it. Star players will cost you 2 skill points, and megastars cost you 4. So just like in World Cup, where you take a dwarf team, mm-hmm. if you want Griff, you're not getting any skills.
Though, in this case, they aren't allowed to take any megastars in Tier A, or even regular stars.
Oh, so, you're right. Duh.
Yeah, you can't even do that.
I missed the fact that it has 0 on there. I'm an idiot. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So, interesting. I guess it's good that they can't take star players. They don't need it, but not a whole lot of skill points.
Especially for Tier A. Yeah. I mean, 4 is very slim.
And then we go to Tier B. Why don't you go ahead and do that one?
Yep, and Tier B is a 6 skill point allotment. So pretty standard tournament amount. Again, it's 1 point per primary skill. They can take 1 secondary skill in Tier B. So if you want to, say, put block on your big guy or something, they are able to do that. You can, again, do 1 stacked primary skill, but Tier B also cannot take star players.
At all.
So,
Tier C. Tier C gets 8 skill points. So again, unlimited primary. They can now take 2 secondary, and they can take 2 stacking of the primary skills. And they can take 1 regular star player and 0 megastar players.
And lastly, we have Tier D, which are the 4 stunty teams. They have a 10 skill point allotment and the option to take up to 3 secondary skills, which I would expect they will be very likely to use.
Yep.
They can stack 3, have players with 3 stacked primary skills maximum. They can take 2 normal star players. They can take 1 megastar. And it is covered in their FAQ. You can take 1 megastar and 1 normal if you wish.
Okay. So it's a very, very, very big difference between A and D.
Yeah. I mean, 2.5 times.
Yeah.
On just the points. And the access is much greater, too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Now, of course, I guess they've tried to mitigate the taking of star players, because you can take star players, but it's going to cost you your skill points. So that does help. So if you took a megastar player and a regular star player, you'd only have, 4 of the 10 left, because that's 4 plus 2. Mm-hmm. So, and that just gives you 2 secondary skills. So I don't know how to feel about it. Like, it seems, like you said, if you are trying to make it even, then why are you costing them differently in the main group?
I mean, that's my only problem with this here, is I don't think you need to combine both things. I mean, I think this concept and this chart of skill allowances, for the most part, is interesting, and I think would be a good tournament.
Yeah.
I think Tier A maybe could be 5 skill points. It's 4 is very tight, and I mean, it's, you get so much more with Tier D. You could take a megastar, and you still have 2 more skill points than Tier A.
Yeah.
That's so many.
And even Tier B, having 1 secondary skill allotment is a huge difference between, B and A. And then you take that 1 secondary, and you still have just as many skill points as A does.
Yeah, on top of that secondary skill. Right.
So, I mean, it really, really, really makes you go, well, maybe I'm not taking A because that really sucks.
Yeah. And I mean, that's makes things interesting in a way because those A-tier teams are the ones that usually get played the most.
Oh, yeah. I mean, basically,
even say in World Cup where you got less skills,
mm-hmm.
they were still the most common teams for the most part.
And I mean, as it is, I mean, it maybe just also makes you play differently because, you know, you could now just take your regular dwarf team and add a death roller and not have to worry about it. You know, you don't need skills, you know, it's not hurting you, I guess, but I don't know. It's a lot of, it definitely provides you a lot of different ways to go when building a team.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, to just make it even more confusing, is step three. You want to go over that one?
Sure. Yeah. So step three lets coaches purchase inducements on top of their players and so forth and regular team building items. The inducements are all the same as they are in the core rulebook or Death Zone supplements. But some of the inducements also incur a skill point cost. These aren't restricted by team tier or anything at all. So
we can
kind of go through the different inducements here by skill point cost real quick. The no skill point ones are kind of ones you see in tournaments most of the time. Bloodwiser kegs, bribes, wandering apothecary, plague doctor, Master Chef, but there are some here that you don't see too often. The Weather Mage, for one, the Mortuary Assistants, Dwarven Ruinsmith, and Cavorting Nurglings, which I think those almost none of those have I ever seen in a tournament.
I don't even know what half of those are.
Right.
At least half of those. I mean,
I only have the gist of them now. I don't know exactly what they do.
Yeah, like, so. I kind of understand Weather Mage. Okay. Mortuary mm-hmm. Assistant. Okay, I think that's like an Apoth for the undead teams. Dwarven Runesmith and Cavorting Nurglings, no clue at all.
Yeah, I think the Runesmith can, like, it gives you, like, stat boosts or extra skill or some weird thing that you have to roll for. I'd have to look them up.
Oh, yeah. So, for one skill point, you can take a Biased Ref, Riotous Rookies, Halfling Hot Pot, the Warg Drummer, a Bottle of Heady, Master of Ballistic...
I think it's Heady Brew.
Oh, Heady Brew. Okay, makes sense.
It doesn't say that in the rules, though.
Yeah. Master of Ballistics, Medicinal Unguent, and Team Mascot. Again, I don't know what half those are.
Yeah, sure. And, I mean, I've heard that of some of them being used in tournaments like once or twice.
But. Yeah. I mean, ultimately, like, I've read all of them at some point.
Yeah.
But I don't play in league teams that often, so I don't get inducements. I'm playing tournaments, pretty much only tournaments now. So.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go over the ones that would cost two?
Yep. So, lastly, there are a couple of two skill point costing inducements. First of all, being the Hireling Sports Wizard, which I believe is the Fireball Frog Wizard. And secondly, they are allowing Giants, but at the cost of two skill points, as well as the whatever 300 or 340 or whatever they cost.
I don't know. Don't take it. Just don't take it. It's not it's not smart. Nobody wants to play against them. Just don't.
And I know the rules if you do.
Yeah. There are some that are not permitted. Special play cards, mercenaries, infamous coaching staff. Thank God. And fabulous freebooters.
You think the infamous coaches are too strong or just too confusing?
Both. I mean, there's coaches that take the pitch, you know?
Yeah, yes.
I don't want that. Like, take your damn team, play your team. Don't need a coach to come on and help you out, you know? But that's my opinion.
Sure.
And really, that's
it.
I
don't mind seeing these at a tournament. This just seems like a pretty big tournament to allow a bunch of weird stuff that people don't know the rules for. And maybe other people know it better than we do, but...
Well, this is the argument that I just had on Both Down about our Chaos Cup episode.
Mm.
If this is going to be considered like a major or a national tournament, which is what it's lined up to be, and you read the most recent NAF meeting notes, they're saying that there's no need for a nationals tournament because they have the majors and they have this, so it meets the needs.
Sure.
Keep to regular rules. We don't need all the goofy stuff.
Right.
In my opinion. I'm very much if I was head of the NAF, if I had full absolute power, every major, every national, every high stake tournament's going to be the same rules. NAF puts it out every year, says exactly what they are. Everyone's playing under the same set of rules, and you take up changes every year and see how it goes. Just so you have an underlying basis to see how people compete under the same rule set.
Yeah, but there's definitely something to be said for that.
But
and
I'm in
the
minority.
Bigger the tournament is, the harder it is to organize. It just seems like a can of worms for I hope their judges are up for knowing all the rules of these items.
Take your rule books, get those tabs so you can quickly jump, or get an iPad and find a copy and put it on there.
Yeah. I mean, on the plus side, probably most of these aren't going to be that great, and so they'll be more of a fringe thing, but there's so many of them. One or two of them might be. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe Word Drummer is so good with Korn or something, and it's going to let you like push their guys in the wrong position and shove them out of bounds really easily, or I don't know. I've never played with it.
Yeah, and a wizard could be really good if you're, you know, a dwarf team who just wants to take a couple of skills to pick up the ball and protect yourself as you go down. Then your whole defense is, if they get the ball, I zap them. And then I squash them because they're a frog.
Or a team like Steven that just needs that one turnover.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
I don't either. I don't have a good answer, but there's a lot of variety, a lot of different ways to take stuff.
Yes, I mean, not to sound totally negative, the exciting thing about all these extra things, there'll be a lot of possible teams out there, way more than normal.
Oh, yeah. Like, you'll go up against some really weird stuff, most likely.
You're right, yeah.
Until you win a game, and then you'll go up against more normal stuff. Then you win another game, and it's like, okay, this is just a Tier A team or a Tier B.
Yeah.
Now, if you lose, and you're on the bottom tables, get ready for who knows what.
Yep, could be Dwarven Runesmiths and Heady Brew all day.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't hate it. It's just, it seems a lot for a tournament this size.
Yeah, I mean, I like it, but I just, to me, it wouldn't, this is not the tournament I would roll this out in.
Yeah. But they didn't ask us, so.
I know.
So
maybe
guess,
next time.
Yeah, I doubt that. From what I hear, pretty much they don't care about my opinion. And I make it very known I have opinions. So ultimately, we'll go over what we think is a good squad contingent next episode. Throw some rosters together, look at them, and kind of make our case for it. But without going into too much of specifics, do you think, like, if we had to make a guess right now, is a top team going to have an A, B, C, and D? Is it going to be 1C and 3Ds? Like, what's the top squad that wins going to have?
Right. So, I mean, looking at the rules quickly, in my opinion, I'd say the A-tier teams seem really difficult to want to play to me. Couple of teams really stand out to me. One's a tier 3 team and one's a tier 2 team that I really like. So I'd probably do those. And I really, really like what tier D gets. There's a lot of things that those teams didn't get at World Cup that made it really hard on them.
Mm-hmm.
You can take stars and you can take double skills.
And you can get extra money.
That's on top of, you get the extra money. You get other skills to get your other things. So like Riotous Rookies costing that point doesn't matter so much for you. You have plenty of skill points. Mm-hmm. It's not like, and those better teams are just going to have less.
Yeah. Like honestly, looking at the tier A, you know, Dark Elf still will do fine. Chaos Dwarf can still do fine. Undead will still be fine-ish. Dwarf, fine. Elf, Wood Elf, not great. Orcs, suffering.
I think they'll really struggle.
Skaven will be fine. And Lizardmen are unplayable.
They're real tough.
I mean,
and Skaven were tier 2 at World Cup, so they're moving up a tier, and the tier is worse. So,
yeah.
I mean, like you said, they'll be fine, but they're going to be much worse than, say, in those rules.
Oh, for sure. But yeah, I think Orc and Lizardmen, just straight off, You've killed those teams. You know, what's a Lizard Man team going to have? Two guard and two block? Okay, bring it on. Thanks.
And, I mean, Lizardman's tough to build at 1.1 anyway. Yeah. They're one of the teams need 1.15 more than almost anybody. So
yeah.
You have a hard time putting your team together regardless of the skills. I mean, Orcs do really good at low team value, so that's a plus for them. But yeah, four skills is not a lot.
No, especially when you're going up against teams with a lot of skills.
Right.
Or a lot of players and a lot of skills, you know?
Yeah.
Take a friggin' Snotling team, and you got 14 people on the pitch, and just knock down a Orc and foul him to death.
Right.
Well, I think we went over the rules. Anything else you want to contribute before we wrap this one up?
I wouldn't mind, I guess, kind of covering the actual differences in tiers here between this and World Cup. I mean, like we mentioned, Skaven moved up to Tier 1, and humans moved out of Tier 1 to Tier 2, so to me, they're much more playable than at World Cup.
Yeah.
Elf Union and Slan both moved down a tier versus World Cup, so they're both pretty attractive comparatively, I would say. Whereas High Elves and Wood Elves did not move down, so. Vampires, of course, moved way up from near the bottom to Tier 2, and might even need to be Tier 1, but they're just so new, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Tomb Kings moved up a tier. They were really good at World Cup, being in the lower tiers, but at Tier 2, I think they're fine. It's just, they're not a team that stands out to me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And getting rid of Tier 4 means that Chaos Renegades and Old World Alliance both move up a tier, but that tier's kind of effectively the same.
Yeah. I don't know. I just keep looking at it and trying to think, like, what I'd want to take. And it's hard not to want to take a D team.
Right.
Because it's just you're going to have so much more opportunity to do stuff, take stuff, and have fun.
Yeah. I mean, I would be happy to be part of a 4-point squad. I feel like,
so
looking at
I.
these rules.
Yeah.
I don't think I would win the tournament, but I wouldn't think we'd be getting crushed.
No. 50-50, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
Well,
I guess we mentioned it in the last one. They do have that special rule where if you only have 6 points, that's eligible for an extra trophy. So there's some attractiveness to play lower point total anyway, just for that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and something they just announced, I think today, is they're doing a Timbits Cup on Friday. So they are doing like a sevens event on Friday.
Yeah, I couldn't tell. Is that a team event too? I couldn't tell.
Or is it just a sevens tournament? I assumed it was just individual, but
it probably is.
Man, that could. I keep forgetting, like, I keep thinking squads, and that's my number in my head. And I'm not taking squads times 4 for people.
Right.
So I keep forgetting, like, just how big this tournament will be. Because
They sell out four times as many people, right?
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah.
Hoping it does. Like, I'm pretty sure it's going to get close at least because, you know, it's going to be fun.
Absolutely. I mean, it's already sold over 200, I think, so.
Yeah.
Pretty good size for North American tournament.
Yeah. I mean, if it's over 200, then you're looking at bigger than Chaos Cup, which has been the biggest tournament.
Right.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and wrap this up, keep it under half an hour or so, and come back next time with what we think we would probably take for a squad. Want to say anything at the end?
For Lizardmen, Steve?
Hmm?
That's against the rule. Darn it.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, if you take Lizardmen, you might just take 4 Sauri, and that's it. Might be stuck with it, I don't know. But anyways, if you would like to say goodbye, I will let you.
Okay. So we got to say goodbye, and we'll say au revoir, too, because we're talking Canada, so we got to cover both.
Oh, yeah. There you go. All right, see you next time. Thank you for listening to World Cup Report Worldwide. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/WCReportBB. You can email us at worldcupreportworldwide@gmail.com. or at worldcupreportbb@gmail.com.